since the water is drinkable the way it is, go ahead and drink it. It's not the halacha. The halacha says that you, if, that's the question, if the halacha says you're not allowed to drink the water without filtering it. So let's assume that the water is must be filtered because it has real worms that you can see. So then the Chayyadim suggest that maybe it's mutter. You think since the goyim can drink it the way it is, the fact that up the halacha there's a problem. He has a ray from the Rishonim that we should pass him that the machlokes in Rishonim, we should pass him that that's not called bara. And then the later poskim follow the Maram Shik. Maram Shik has a tshuva where he thinks that you're not allowed to. So he asked him about filtering water. So he said that we're here. Maram Shik lived in Hungary. So he says in all the villages where he lived in Hungary. He says, all over the world these bugs, he's talking about these kind of bugs that we have. He says, all over the world they have these bugs. But he says, it's always a mere chain on Matsui. It's so rare, it's less than 10% chance that you're going to be swallowing a bug. So you're not mukhiyev to be baidik, and maybe you're not mukhiyev to filter the water. He said, so therefore, even if in Hungary where he lived, there were always those who, as a midas chassidus, would filter the water all the time. So he says, since it's only midas chassidus, so on Shabbos it's not a problem up here. But he says, if you, the one who sent him the Shaila, says, if you claim that in the city where you live it's a Miyu Tamotsui, that's what they're not sure here in New York, whether it's a Miyu Tamotsui, Miyu Chena Motsui.
One thing, they have chlorine and they're dead and they're, I don't know, depends if you cook the water. I said, if you cook the water, would the water still be awesome? Because the, cooking the water doesn't destroy the worms.
It's still there. It depends how long you cook it. They cook the water.
So
they say if you cook the water for 5 minutes.
That is still
water. Awesome. Yeah. No, but if you cook the water just for 5 minutes, so the likelihood is that they probably will not disintegrate. They probably will not. They cooked it. They said it doesn't disintegrate. If you cook the water, if you stir, let's say, soup for a long time, you stir it. Or if you're cooking a samovar that's cooking water for a couple of hours, the whole shop is. So then there is a 50-50 chance that the bugs will disintegrate. If they disintegrate, you're still not allowed to eat it, but then at least you can say that it's bottled. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Shach quotes the Tshuva Sarashbo, but such a similar case, you're not talking about water, you're talking about vegetables. But if you have a vegetable where there's a Miyu Tamotsui that maybe has a bug in it, but that you chopped it up so thinly that there's a 50-50 chance maybe you chopped up the bugs, so then there are Shach quotes the Rashba that that's mutter because of a spek seker. Maybe this piece of vegetable you have doesn't have a bug. It's more than 10% chance that you will be eating a bug, but it's still less than 50-50. So maybe you're lucky, maybe you don't have any bug, and even if there is a bug, there's a 50-50 chance that the bug is chopped up. So he calls that a spek seker. Yeah, you consider that a spek seker.
And if you put such water on mushroom, you could put it in salt.
Right.
Then there you wouldn't be bottled.
Would be bottle, yeah. It's not nika, yeah. If they make a chant, it's not nika. If you have a miyot tamotzi, that's where it's not. It's unclear whether in New York City is there a miyot tamotzi or is there a miyot shena tamotzi. But they say in the same house, sometimes you have a bug in 5 out of 8 cups of water. 5 cups out of 8 cups of water will have a bug. And sometimes, that's in the morning, and then at night in the same house, you'll have 1 bug in 1,000 cups of water. They don't know, and around the corner there won't be any bugs at all. The next house, in the summertime there are more bugs, in wintertime there are less bugs. So they can't figure out what the rule is, what the klal is.
But the fact is you don't see it. When you have the water, we say it's somewhere where the water comes from, they see the bug. But when you take a glass of water and you look at it and you don't see it, but there's a clear, of you to worry about it?
No. If you have a microscopic bug, you don't have to worry about it. The thing is that they can be seen. The Chayyadim, the Chachmas Adam writes that if the bug is not visible unless you take it outside in the sun, then you look in the sunlight, you can see it, so then that's considered visible, then it is also. These bugs can be seen, you don't even have to have such a good vision.
You
can see. The problem is while they're alive, for sure you can see them. They show me these bugs while they're alive. It looks like fish in a fish tank. Very visible. After they're dead, they're visible, but you can't identify them as a bug. But if while it was alive, it was identifiable as a bug, and then I kill him, so that doesn't make it mutter.
Yeah,
but you have,
in Croton, you saw the bug, in that area where the reservoir is.
Right.
When you take the glass of water here, you look at it, nothing happens. I look at it,
if you look at it and there's no bug, then there's no shiloh. You see, there's no bugs, right? just have to you have to learn to find out how to check the water.
I don't know. I become a scientist with a microscope.
No, you don't need a microscope. If you need a microscope, then it's mutter. No, if you need a microscope, then it's mutter. No. The only time it's a problem is if the water, if it's visible, if the bug is visible in the water.
He said you can put into the sun there because it's bottled. You are allowed to make bottle with a chiller.
The chiller not allowed. If you think that it's a 10% chance that you may have a bug in New York City, then you should really filter all the water in advance. But the shadi put the yevah. If you went ahead and you did it, so then you can't say that it's also because it's really mutami tam sekser.
And that all filters with cleaners.
Not all that's right. You have to have a very fine filter.
You filterize the water because it stops the bugs from going farther.
This
is the only solution.
Yeah, if you have the right size filter, then
you have to be a
fine
filter.
Fine filter.
Yeah.
Then it solves the problem.
You have it called easy filter. Mm-hmm. That's the one that they recommend.
I think it's in Hilchos Shabbos. Like the Chayodim. I'm not familiar.
I heard where you from?
Okay, last week we left off the Mishnah Yud Dalar on the base. There's a difference between a Lechi and a Korah. If you have a Mavui, an area that has three walls, the Minatari you're allowed to carry, but the Rabbanan you have to make a Tikkun on the Roch Revis on the fourth wall. So the first Mishnah, and it was repeated again, you can either put, if it's a Mavui, you can either put a Lechi or a Korah. A Lechi is a mezuzah, a beam that's 10 fachim tall. It's either on this side of the Mavui or that side of the Mavui. It has to be within three fachim of the wall. And then you're allowed to carry from that point in. And a Korah means a beam that goes on top of the... you have the three walls over here, a beam that goes from the top of this wall to the top of that wall, provided that it's within 20 yamas from the ground. So the Mishnah says that the lechi only has a shear in height, it has to be 10 tefachim tall, but it doesn't have a shear in width. L'choyayim sha'amru, the lechis that we were talking about in the first parak until daf yudalat on the base, govan asara tefachim has to be 10 tefachim tall, because it's a mechitza. The lechi is either minatera it's a mechitza, midirabaron it's a mechitza. That's a machloikis that's going to come up on Tezvav and Meralev that was already mentioned earlier, where the lechi has a din of a mechitza on it. The afkamin is like this. Let's say you have an area, I think we discussed this, have an area that has two walls at a right angle to each other like this. So that's not a Rishus HaYochid. The Mishnah Berurah has such a diagram. If you have two walls at a right angle to each other, it's not a Rishus HaYochid. So the Chazanish posed the question, why not? But if you would have three walls like this, and our third is a Rishu Sayachid because only missing one wall. So if you have two walls at a V at a 90 degree angle, one should draw a line like this and say it's only missing the third wall. So say that can't say that the whole rectangular shape is a Rishu Sayachid because you only have two walls right angle to each other. But say the triangular shape should be. So the Chazanish has a whole Chiddush based on this picture in the Mishnah Berurah. He says no, that there's in mathematics. There's such a research. If you have shapes, what does the Svara dictate should be? And they tell you there's a missing bar. Where should you place the missing bar? So that's what the Chazanish has a whole discussion on this. So if you have two walls at a right angle to each other, or more than a right angle to each other, then you don't say the missing bar is over here. No, you're supposed to finish off the diagram.
And be a diagonal.
Right. So it's not supposed to be finished off with a triangular shape. If it will be less than 90 degree angle, so then you can say within the triangular shape it's a Rishus HaYochid. But once it's 90 degrees or more, then the normal way to finish that diagram would be by making another two walls. If missing two walls, then everyone agrees that it's not a Rishus HaYochid. There is an opinion we're going to get to later, which we don't paskin like, that if you have two walls that are parallel to each other, the space in between is a Rishus HaYochid. We don't accept that either. That's Rav Yehuda Shita. Maybe you did learn it. I don't remember it.
Yeah,
we discussed it a little bit, maybe. If you have two parallel, Shtei Mechitzes Derais and Tzadikei Malach. The Gemara says, there is such an opinion. Rav Yehuda holds like that. Maybe we covered it already. Yeah. And it's not accepted. We don't pass like that. So we possibly have to have three walls. So if you have the three walls, so either put a korah, a beam across. The korah has to be a tefach wide. We discussed it. Has to be sturdy enough to hold bricks on top of it. Right? Machlokes this in the previous Mishnah. And the lechi has to be 10 tefachim tall because it's a din lechitza. And how wide does it have to be? So it says, how wide, how thick does it have to be? 10 tefachim. It's three-dimensional. A pole is three-dimensional. So one dimension, the height has to be 10 tefachim tall. And how thick and how wide? How thick this way, how thick that way? So it says, kolshu, rochbon v'yopion kolshu. The thickness and the width is kolshu. And Rabbi Yossi disagrees and he says, no, it has to be three tefachim wide. If the lechi is not three tefachim wide, it's not acceptable. So the Gemara has a whole discussion on the bottom of the page. Should we paskin like Rabbi Yossi or should we not paskin like Rabbi Yossi? Normally, Rabbi Yossi is considered a very sharp Tana. We usually assume here, take a look, four lines from the bottom. Yishum de Rabbi Yossi, nimuko imo. The Gemara sizes up all the different Tanoim. They say this one was like this and this one was like that. So Rabbi Yossi, by Rabbi Yossi, they say, usually everything that he said made sense. Nimuko imo. Everything always made sense. So that's why there was an approach that we should always pass like Rabbi Yossi, even when he disagrees with the rabbi. And Gemara says over here, his opinion is not accepted. We don't pass like Rabbi Yossi. And Gemara says, how do you know? So the Gemara says, here are three lines from the bottom. One Amora tells the other, Puk Chazi, go out and take a look, my Amad Debar. What do the people outside of the base medrash? Let's not philosophize in the base medrash, how to pass. Go see what's the minig oilam. It says, my Amad Debar, what is the minig of the people, Amad Debar? Outside, so the minig is, Tosfos and Rashi, they both say the minig is that the people use a lechi, that's a mashu. It's 10 tefachim tall, but it doesn't have to be 3 tefachim fat. So the minig olam has established that halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi. We pass on the over here. You have that in other places also. We follow the minig olam. The Gemara says, Gemara has in brachas, the end of the second paragraph, different things that we paskin based on the minig olam. So either Gemara says, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi, it has to be 3 tefachim wide. It's enough if it's kosher.
What's a minig olam based on?
Religious Jews. If religious Jews do like that, it means that they yes shaila. It means that they yes to shaila.
If somebody's opinion is such.
That has been the accepted. Yeah, if there is such an opinion. Say, the meaning of America is that the people don't like tilling, whatever. In America, they don't daven a whole week. That's an ishka minig. It means a minig of religious Jews who ask the shaila, and that's apparently the accepted opinion. That has been the accepted opinion. Yeah. And we don't accept it. Yeah. So there is a Gemara later. Okay.
Why do you have to have a tefach?
Yeah, so the Gemara said each one is different. Yeah, each one. This is a mechitza, has to be 10 tefachim tall. The korah is not at all a mechitza. The korah is a pure invention midirabbanan. And the reason why it has to have a tefach wide is because it should be able to hold the bricks that you would want to put on top of it. The whole thing was Mishum Heker. The whole thing was an invention midirabbanan. So that's the way they all misakin it.
It's also a heker, no?
Yeah, they're both accomplish a heker, yeah. We're going to get into the details about the heker. So there is a Gemara and Pei Omid Beis on the top of Pei Omid Beis. The Gemara has a rule right before the Mishnah. The Gemara has a rule, Kitoisi Mechte Shiure. Whenever you have something that requires a shiur, let's say for example, a lulav has to be 4 tefachim tall, an esrog, a hadassah ben aravos has to be 3 tefachim tall. An esrog has to have a certain minimum size, whether ke'egos or ke'beitza, but there is a minimum size. Or other things have, whenever he needs, k'veisa sukkah has to be a minimum of 10 tefachim tall and 7 tefachim wide. Whenever you have something that needs a shear, yeah, so the halacha says, if you have a dovish alavad izara, which is not only asa bahano, either dovish alavad izara, or some property from an irani dachas, which is not only asa bahano, but it's tones ibud min oilam, it's tones sreifa, you're supposed to destroy it, and not some destroy it when you have a chance. Let's say that's a question, let's say I have orla, the fruits that grow, I plant the tree in Eretz Yisrael, so the fruits that grow the first 3 years are asa bachila bahano, you're not allowed to eat it. Chisavoyal horat and a titan called Eitz Michael, it's in Parashat Kedoshim, aral tamar losar, Solushan Marin, Yelachem lo ye ochel. So the Gemara says, Osa bachi los mano, and it's ton sreifa. The Gemara learns that from a posik that orlo and kloya kerma ton sreifa. It doesn't mean you have to burn it the first second. Yeah, when you get to it. you're not, if you're holding by dying, so hurry up and burn it before you die. Why should you lose the mitzvah? You don't have to burn it right away. You can wait till next week to burn it. It's not behold, it's not like Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to keep in your possession. Avodah Zarah, you have to destroy right away. If you have an opportunity to burn the oil on the clock carom today, so don't wait till tomorrow, whatever you can do today. But it's mitzvah bol yadchal tach mitzena. It's vid magdim le mitzvahs, but it's not the same as by Avodah Zarah and even Yidachas. Avodah Zarah and Yidachas, it's also to keep it, to maintain it in your possession. Like chometz is a dinner by your rabbi matzah. Chometz is similar to this. Chometz you have to destroy. By chometz is a machloikis where they need sreifa, hashbasasa v'chol dova. So that's why the Gemara has this klal. If I have lulav shal asherah, or shal irani dachas, mishnayis in lulav agozol and sukkah, lulav shal asherah shal irani dachas, or nesrit shal asherah shal irani dachas, which is ton ibud min ha'ilam. You have to destroy it immediately, right away when you have an opportunity, it's the first chance you have. So the Mishnah says, since it requires a shear, a minimum size, so you can't consider this as if it has the, even though it has the four tefachim tall, or the hadas and the rabbis have three tefachim tall in the esrog, it has a kibetzah, the shear doesn't have any chashivas because it's made to be destroyed in a second. So that's what the Gemara calls kitaisi mechta shiuri. We treat it as if chiteis nechash anachoshes, to chop up into tiny particles. So we treat it as if you have a lulav, takut, the lulav has four tefachim tall, but what would you do if you have a lulav and someone takes a knife and they chop up the lulav? It's no good. It has to be one piece. So here it's true, the lulav has the four tefachim, and the esrog has the kibetza, but it's treated as if it were chopped up into tiny particles. It doesn't retain the chashivas of the shear that it's supposed to have. That's called kitoise mechdeshur. So the Gemara has a discussion on the top of Pamid Beis, what's the story regarding Alechi Bekora? What would you say regarding Alechi Bekora? So the Gemara makes a distinction. So the Gemara said right before the Mishnah, we paskin like the second version. The two opinions here. So it says, Itmar, let's see the second line from the top. Itmar, Apriya Barash Yama Osim Lechi Ashera. You may make a Lechi from Ashera. The Lechi has to be 10 tefachim tall. So if it's from an Ashera, it's an Avodah Zarah, it's ton Sreifa. He says, it doesn't bother me. It's okay. Reish Lakish Amar Osim Kor Ashera. Rav Shimon ben Lakish Amar, he says not only can you make a lechi from an asher, you can make a korah also. The korah, the bean that goes across, has to be a tefach wide. You can also do that. So the Gemara analyzes. Mandi yom korah. The second opinion, Reish Lakish, who says you can either make a korah from asher, koshken lechi, he would be made by both lechi and korah. Why? I said hadin ki tois mech teshur. So he says, God, the whole thing is only mishum heker. It's only with the Rabbanim and Atari Yalada Karim. It's only Mishum Hekka. So you don't have to be so strict to apply the rule of Kitois and Mechdeshur. It only applies when you really need a shear on the level of the Raisa, something more serious. Here it doesn't apply to this case. And we don't accept that opinion. Amandi Omalechi, we pass like the first Amor, Rabchia Barashi, who says we permit you to make a Lechi. Shalashera, so the implication is he only allows a Lechi. He would not agree with Reish Lakish. He wouldn't allow you to make a Korah from Asher. Aval Korah lo. Why? Because Kitoisi Mechdeshur. Since a Korah requires a width, it requires a minimum shear of a Tefach wide, so Kitoisi Mechdeshur applies even though it's only an issue derabbanan, it's only a Chumer mederabbanan, Mishum Heker, you still, Sof Kol Sof, if it's a tone, Ibed Benon, tone Sreifa, so you say Kitoisi Mechdeshur doesn't have the shear. So here all the Rishonim is, but they both need a shear. The Lechi needs the shear, has to be 10 Tefachim Tor. Fine, the thickness and the width, both directions is mashul, but you have the height requires 10 tefachim tall. So why don't you say kitos and mechdeshur? That's what Tosis says. Avakav dalech and the second Tosis over there. I'm paying the base. Avu kaira is no good if it's from asher because you need a tefach wide. So why is a lechi good? Avakav dalech and boshir goiva. So Tosis accepts it, doesn't explain it. Tosis doesn't explain why. The Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has in his sefer on the Rambam a famous essay where he explains it. And then after Rav Chaim passed away, then they printed manuscripts from Rishonim, and they discovered that the Rishonim, there's a Rashbam, that there's a Pirush Rashbam, a running commentary of the Rashbam on the Rif, that they never had for many years. And they printed it after Rav Chaim passed away. They printed it before the Second World War. So the Rashbam has this chat. Rav Chaim says like this. Shear 10 tfachim tall that's required for a lechi is because a lechi is a mechitza. Every mechitza has to be 10 tfachim tall. The shear 10 tfachim that's needed by every mechitza is not that the mechitza needs 10 tfachim. A lulav requires that it should be 4 tfachim long. Hadassim and Aravis have the minimum of 3 tfachim long. An esrik has to have a minimum size of a beitza, whatever. There are various things. Mechitza doesn't need any shear per se. The thing is that what's the definition of Rishus HaYachid? Rishus HaYachid is a makom that's mukav. What's makom? Makom is a minimum of dalar al dalar tfachim on the ground. If the area that's enclosed is less than dalar al dalar tfachim, so it's not called a makom, so it can't begin. You don't get the first base. Can't call it Rishus HaYachid. If you have dalar al dalar on the ground level, and that's mukav from the perspective of this area, the shetach on the earth, it's mukav. What's called mukav? The whole mukav has, how much of the mukav is a mukav? Is dalet al dalet to the height of 10 tvachim. The 10 tvachim is a shear in the avir. It's not a shear in the mechitza. Above the din of 10 tvachim tall, I think we learned it. No, in the beginning we must have discussed it. The Gemara asks, how do you know that you require that a mechitza has to be 10 tvachim tall? Didn't we have it here? maybe it's in the beginning of Sukkah. I forgot already where it is. In the beginning of Sukkah. Beginning of Sukkah, Davdalen. So the Gemara says, how do you know that a mechitza for Rishus HaYachid and for Sukkah has to be 10 tefachim tall? So the Gemara says, because there are two psukim that seem to contradict each other. The one pasuk says, Hashamayim Shamayim Lashem Horat Nasan of Neodom, that the Shechina is in heaven above. The other pasuk says, Vayerad Hashem al Har Sinai, that the Rabban Shalom brought the Shechina down to Har Sinai. How can it be? Then it says, Horat Nasan of Neodom, people go on this earth. Hashamayim Shamayim Lashem, people don't belong in the sky. But it says, Vayal Moshe El Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu went up, and the Gemara assumes that what it means is that Har Sinai was like this. Moshe Rabbeinu's feet were above Har Sinai. I don't know how the Gemara knows that, but that's what they assume. Moshe Rabbeinu was suspended in midair. So the Gemara is bothered with these two kashas. State Hashamayim, Shamayim Lashem, Horat Nasan of Neodom. So how come over here it says, Yered Hashem Har Sinai, the Shechina came down, and it says, Horat Nasan of Neodom, people belong on the earth, they don't belong above the ground. So how come Moshe Rabbeinu was suspended in midair? So the Gemara answers, Me'olam Me'yor the Shechina Lamata Me'yud. By Yered Hashem Har Sinai, the Shechina didn't come down within the first 10 tefachim. And when Moshe Rabbeinu was suspended in midair, he wasn't above 10 tefachim. His feet were suspended above Har Sinai. Har Sinai, the top of Har Sinai was over here. His feet were suspended somewhere within the bottom 10 tefachim from the ground. What's that? So that's a raya that a mechitza for Shabbos and for Sukkah has to be 10 tefachim tall. What does it got to do with anything? Where do you see that the mechitza has to be 10 tefachim tall? The answer is, it's not a raya that a mechitza has to be 10 tefachim tall. It's a raya that the first 10 tefachim above the ground are mitzuref to the ground, and above 10 tefachim is not mitzuref to the ground. There's a din in Rishus HaRabim like that. The first 10 tefachim of Rishus HaRabim, the first 10 tefachim has a status like Rishus HaRabim, and above the height of 10 tefachim is a makom tur. Has the status of a makom tur. Rishus HaYochid, the din is a zayla ad l'rakia. When you have, let's say, a playground and it has fences around it, the din is a zayla ad l'rakia. That's a different reason. Why is it zayla ad l'rakia? Why don't you say it's only tefachim 10 tefachim above? No, the answer is because there's a din. Good asik mechitza. Whatever you have mechitzas that are 10 tefachim tall, mm-hmm. The halacha says we visualize as if good. We stretch as if we have a right to stretch up the mechitzas and they go all the way up to the sky. We consider it as if it goes all the way up to the sky. So it's considered as if, we imagine as if there are mechitzas that go all the way up. So it's not that the avir, you don't discuss the first 10 tefachim of the avir above the rishus. No, the whole thing all the way up is mukav mechitzas. So the Gemara understands there's such a din by tchumen. The Gemara has a sofik in Maseches Erevin, and the Shulchan Aruch we pass on Hakol. The Gemara has a shaila: is it tchum lamala me'asara tefachim or not? A double shaila: if a person is flying in the air, let's say now, if a person is sitting on top of a horse, and on top of a very tall horse, but the feet of the horse are on the ground, or the person is sitting on a train, a very tall train, it's a very tall wagon, there's a horse pulling a wagon, and the wagon is very tall, and the floor on which he's sitting is above 10 feet, but it's not suspended in midair. The wheels of the wagon are on the ground. So that's considered lamata mi'asar tchum. So of course there's a din of going chutz l'tchum. But the Gemara has a shaila. Is there a din of tchum and lamayla mi'asar tchum if the guy's flying in the air, let's say in an airplane? Yeah. Is there a din of tchum and a not? So the Gemara has two shailas. Hayekayin shvisa. If Erev Shabbos bein hashmashis, you're flying in the sky. The Gemara talks about if it rains on Shabbos. Why don't you say that the water, the rain clouds traveled miles. Let's say it rains on Shabbos afternoon. So the rain clouds traveled many miles. So the Bekodesh is over there, and by the time it comes over here, it's ready. Way chutz l'tchum. So how are you allowed to drink the water? But the clouds didn't belong to anybody. It was hefker. So there's a machloek of satara, whether nichse hefker akodesh shvisa or not. Normally the din of shvisa is on people. So if a person owns property, so his property nichse habeim abapei lekelim kiragle habaylim. Got a mishnah in the end of Beitzah. The property that belongs to me has the same tchum that I have. Yeah, but what if it's nichse hefka? It doesn't belong to anybody. So that's a machlekes satanoim. So I think we pass the nichse hefka, not kind of shvisa. So bechlal, there's no problem. The Gemara has a whole discussion. What if the old nichse hefka are also kind of shvisa? So the rain clouds, if it rains on Shabbos afternoons, and these clouds traveled hundreds of miles. So why not say that the water, that, and there's a brisa that says if it rains on Shabbos, you can drink the rain. And it sounds like everybody agrees to that. Why don't you say there's a problem that came in chutz l'tchum? Unless you say that you're not kainah shvisa l'bala me'asar atzvachim. That kainah shvisa means, where is the mokum? The mokum means which location on the globe, which location on the earth is the mokum of this water. So if it's l'bala me'asar atzvachim, it's not mitzurif to the earth. So the Gemara has the shaila whether there's a din of tchum l'bala me'asar atzvachim above the earth, above the level of the earth. There's a double shaila in Erev, and the one shaila is, if something is kind of shvisa l'mayla me'asar tchum. The other shaila is, if I'm over here, I'm on the ground, and I'm kind of shvisa in the beginning of Shabbos here, what if I have the ability to fly in the air? I'm Leifis. I have the ability to fly in the air. Am I allowed to fly chutz l'tchum on Shabbos if my going chutz l'tchum is going to be when I will be above asar tchum? Because if you should assume that l'mayla me'asar tchum is not mitzurif to the ground, so there's no violation of tumim. It's not considered like I went to a different makom chutz l'tum. The Gemara has a shaila whether Eliyahu HaNavi, the Gemara says we assume Eliyahu HaNavi will come the day before the Melech HaMashiach. Hinenechu shelech lechem is Eliyahu HaNavi lesnei bo yom Hashem agor v'aner. The Gemara says, what's the yom bo, lesnei bo yom Hashem agor v'aner? What is that day? That's Bias HaMashiach. So the Gemara, that's the last pasuk in Malachi, no? So the Gemara in Erevin in this sugya, but Chum and the Malam Asar, the Gemara understands Pshat and not Navi in the last pasuk there, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send Eliyahu HaNavi the day before Moshiach will appear. The Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah, when he talks, the last couple of prokem in the Mishnah Torah talks about Moshiach. So he said, we're not too sure whether Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come before Moshiach, after Moshiach. That's one Gemara, that our Gemara is fakir. He says, when Moshiach will come, we'll see who's right. We're not sure what's going on. But this Gemara in Erevin has this assumption. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come the day before. He will appear. Going to come where? Going to appear to the Bezdin HaGadol, whatever they will be. We must have discussed it. That the Gemara has a tradition. Bezdin HaGadol will reconvene in the last location where they met 1,500 years ago. Wherever it was that they met last. And the last place that they met was somewhere in the Galil. So that's why in the 1500s, the days of the Beis Yosef, one of the reasons why the big concentration of the tzaddikim, all of their rabbanim, most of them lived in Tzfas. Another reason was because the water in Yerushalayim was unhealthy. There were people were dying. So it was all full of bugs. The bugs were kosher. The bugs are mutter. Bugs in wells are mutter, but it's unhealthy. They were getting sick, and they were dying from the bugs. But that was one reason why they didn't want to live in Yerushalayim. The water was cleaner in Tzfas. And the other reason, the more popular reason, a better known reason why they lived in Tzfas, is because the Gemara says that Esed Golias Golsa Sanhedrin, it's like the end of Rosh Hashanah. Esed Golias Golsa Shechina, at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, the Shechina left in stages. Shechina was always Bein Akruvim, so it left one stage, then the people still didn't do tshuva, left the second stage, third stage. The Gemara documents it from Sukkim and Nevi'im. So there were Esed Golias Golsa Shechina at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, based on Sukkim and Nevi'im. So connect them that were Esed Golias Golsa Sanhedrin at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. So 40 years before the year 70, when the Beis HaMikdash was formed, 40 years before, The Sanhedrin moved out of the Lishkas HaGozes and they met in a different location, Harabai somewhere. Then they decided to go further into Golas. They went to Yerushalayim, further away from the Mokam of the Lishkas HaGozes. Then they went different location, Yavne. Yavne, many years they went Yavne. Then apparently there were persecutions from the Roman government, so they went to Tzipori and Shparam and Usha, Takanas Usha, different locations. All the locations were in Galil. And then the whole Beis Nagadol disappeared. Count that. Then the Gemara says, we have a tradition based on a pasuk in Navi that they will reconvene in the last location where they met. So that's why the Rambam quotes this also, straight from the Gemara in Masechus Rosh Hashanah. So the tradition had it that the Beis Nagadol will reconvene somewhere in the Galil. So that's why. And Eliyahu Navi is supposed to appear in front of the Beis Nagadol in somewhere in the Galil to announce the coming of Mashiach tomorrow. So that's why the Rabbonim, the Mekubalim, they're all hoping for the coming of Mashiach, so they know Eliyahu Navi is supposed to appear to the Beis Nagadol somewhere in the Galil. So that's why they were all hanging out. That's why they all wanted to live over there, to be prepared to be Mekabel Pnei. We have that expression, to be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu. That expression doesn't appear in the Gemara. Gemara talks about to make a big party to be Mekabel Pnei Eliyahu Navi. Kabbalah Pnei Eliyahu Navi. So the Gemara says, we have a tradition that Rabbanu Shalom will not give us a hakan. He will not send Eliyahu Novi, not on Erev Shabbos, not on Erev Yom, because the Jews are busy preparing for Shabbos. I'm mitzvah to do achanas for Shabbos. So Eliyahu Novi will not come on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom. So the Melech we assume Mashiach will not come neither on Shabbos nor on Yom. Melech HaMashiach will not come not on Shabbos, not on Yom. Shailus, can Eliyahu Novi come on Shabbos? Can Eliyahu Novi come on Shabbos? What do you mean Eliyahu Novi is going to come? He's going to come as a Novi, as a human being. Eliyahu Navi used to live as a human being, and then he went up to the clouds and he turned into a malach. And the poskim speak about Eshes Eliyahu. Eliyahu Navi never died. Eliyahu Navi never died. He went up alive to heaven. Is his wife allowed to remarry or not? So the poskim discuss it. It's a funny discussion. So they say, yeah, Sof, he's not here. Yeah. He's not in the shape of a human being anymore. Now he's in the shape of a malach. So Nishken Mensch, his wife is allowed to remarry. When Eliyahu W will come back, he will come back not as a malach. Mm-hmm. That's what the Mefarshim say. The Midrashim and Eliyahu Novi appears at every bris. Make a kisi shel Eliyahu to welcome Eliyahu Novi. But he's invisible. He comes as a malach. He doesn't come as a human being. When he's going to come before the coming of the Mashiach to announce, then he's going to come as a Novi, as a human being. So the Gemara says, Malachim can come. How can you invite Eliyahu Novi to come to bris on Shabbos? He was just at a bris in Yerushalayim. How can he come over, fly over? So the Gemara says Malachim. The Gemara says an Erevin in this discussion. Malachim can go chutz l'tzum. There's no problem. But when Eliyahu Navi is going to come before the day before, immediately before Mashiach, he's going to come as a human being. So the Gemara says, well, where is he? Wherever he is, he's going to have to travel to the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, wherever the Beis Nagadol is going to be reconvening. So that may be chutz l'tzum. Is there a well? The Gemara assumes that he will have the ability to fly. How do they know? I don't know. He's going to be able to fly as a human being, not as a malach. As a malach, the Gemara says there's no prohibition for malachim to fly. No, then there wouldn't be any problem. The Gemara assumes he's going to turn into a human being and then have the ability to fly after he turns into a human being. So the Gemara says, so what's taket adin? Is there a prohibition to travel? This is all the Gemara in Arabic. It's a funny Gemara. It's all the Gemara in Arabic. So the Gemara says this in
Ibad.
What?
If he turns back into a human being, we should have a saddle with Masrei on his wife.
On his wife, okay. No problem. If his wife is dead, by now she's, dead, yeah. So the Gemara has a discussion. Is that Tchum and Amali Masorah? So the Gemara has a Shaila. Is there a possibility that Eliyahu Navi can come on Shabbos and on Yom Tov? He's not allowed to. As when he's going to come, he'll be in the shape of a human being. Called man in the shape of a malach. The Gemara says malachim can travel chutz l'tchum. But once he's going to be in the figure of a human being, the shape of a human being, he's not allowed to go chutz l'tchum. Oh, he's an Arab. I forgot the learning Arab. It's over here. It's in the man.
Why can he be there already?
Huh?
Where, no, but he can have.
I don't know.
Whatever it is.
So the Gemara.
He doesn't have to travel. If he's a malach, he can be in the
spot.
Like,
can't
get a human being
someplace. Gemara says if he comes as a malach,
no,
for sure there's no problem.
Being.
He can go to Maile Masor. The whole shaila is we assume he's going to come as a human being. He will already turn into
a human
being,
but he'll be near spot.
Oh, so that's what he said.
Right.
So the Gemara episode assumes otherwise. The Gemara is in the Mem. Mem Gimel.
Yeah.
Okay, the Gemara on the top of Mem Gimel on base quotes the pasuk from Malach. Ina nefesh alach la'amisele yonovi. The Gemara says, Yonovi has to come the day before Mashiach. He's not going to come on Erev Shabbos, not going to come on Erev Yontif, right? Then the Gemara says, Hi Tanis, the Pukim Misafkale by the tiny letter Aleph. The Tanis is not sure whether Yesh Tchum Lamar Lamasar and Tchum Lamar Lamasar. He's not sure. The assumption is, Eliyahu HaNovi's going to come as a human being. And the Gemara said before, when you come as a Malach, it's not a problem. Where was that Gemara? Come as a Malach, it's not a problem. Maybe that's earlier. It's all on this daf. This whole story that I just said, this is all on this daf. Amem Gimel Amem Beis, the whole story. It begins on Amad Aleph, in the middle of Amad Aleph, Mem Gimel Amad Aleph by the two dots. Sure. Then it goes on and on. This whole story, right? So what's the shaila tchum lemaile ma'aser? What's the whole discussion? The discussion is because the first 10 tzvachim above the ground, we pass in lahakel, no tchum lemaile ma'aser. Because since they assume the whole day of tchum is only with the rabbanon, so safik the rabbanon lekula. Whenever you have a teiku, the Gemara has a teiku. So sepuk in misafkale whether there's a tchum lemaile ma'aser. So safik the rabbanon lekula. The Mechaber Paskins, like the Rif and the Rambam, the Tchumen, which is the Tchumen, is the Rabbana to go Chutz L'Tchum Alpay Mama, 1 mil. Alpay Mama, that's only with the Rabbana. But to go Chutz L'Tchum of Yud Beis Mil, to go Mach Nisob with Yud Beis Mil in the Midbar. It says, Al Yetzi Ish Mim Komo. So what does it mean, Mim Komo? So the Rambam and the Rif both quote, and the Mechaber quote, Ayushalmi, that Mim Komo means not to go Chutz L'Tchum of Yud Beis Mil. That's called Chutz Mim Komo. So that would be Tchumen Deraisa. And the Rambam canceled as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. He says, you're not allowed to do Malacha and Shabbos, that's one lav, and you're not allowed to go Chutz L'Tchum is another lav, because Tchumen is not from the lav Matas of Malachas. It's a different Issa. There's no Chiyav Koris, there's no Chiyav Misa, it's a separate lav, Malkus. The Gemara says there's Malkus. If the whole Tchumen is there, I said there's going to be Malkus. We Paskin, the whole Tchumen is the Rambam, Paskin is against the Rambam, against this Yerushalmi. The Babli never says a word that there's a difference between Tchumen of Alpay Mama, 1 mil, as opposed to Tchumen of Yud Beis Mil. That to go Chutz L'Tchum, to walk Yud Beis Mil, is going to be an Issa Deraisa. To go 1 mil is only going to be an Issa Derabbanan. Bavli always says, we don't accept Rabbi Akiva's opinion as Tchumen is Deraisa. He holds our Pai Mam as Deraisa. We don't accept Shem, period. So we hold that all Tchumen is only Derabbanan. But the Ramam and the Rif and the Mechaber passing like this to Yishamah, that Yud Beis Mil is Deraisa. So that the suffix of Tchumen, Lamaila Me'asar Tzvochim, so the Mechaber quotes from the Rif and the Ramam. If you're going to go Chutz L'Yud Beis Mil, that's Lamaila me'asar tzvachim, that's a suffix derais in the chum, because the more comes out, it's a sfeik of the dina. Sepukim is afkelei. But if you're only going to go 1 mil, then the mechaber is mekel. The Ramah says, no, we're mekel even to go yud beis mil. Lamaila me'asar tzvachim, because we pass them that everything, all tchumen is only the rabbanon. Even yud beis mil is only the rabbanon, so we pass the suffix the rabbanon lekula. So what's the whole idea? That lamaila me'asar tzvachim, there's no din of tchumen. Why not? The answer is, it's all the same din of a mechitza needs 10 tzvachim. Why? The first 10 tefachim above the ground level are mitzurif to the ground. Benegir to tchumin, and benegir to rishus harab, and benegir the rather halachas also. In the rishus harab, the first 10 tefachim have the status of avin rishus harab, and above 10 tefachim it has the status of a makam tur. So the only reason why a mechitza has to be 10 tefachim tall, it's not a shear that a mechitza needs 10 tefachim. No. It's a shir in the makom. The makom has to be mukav. What's the definition of a makom? It's a shetach of a minimum size of dalar al dalar on the face of the globe, on the face of the earth. So the height of 10 tefachim, the avir above it is part of the makom. A makom is not a two-dimensional makom. A makom is three-dimensional. Dalar al dalar tefachim, not amis. Dalar al dalar tefachim is very tiny. This gemara is really dalar al dalar tefachim. Dalar al dalar tefachim begova. Asura Tvachim is the definition of the makam, and the makam has to be mukav. So Mimela has to have walls that are going to be 10 Tvachim. So when do you say, that's what Rav Chaim explains, and it says in the Rashbam like that, to explain this Gemara and Rav Peyam Beis. When do you say, Kitoisi Mechdish Yura, to have something, the material is Avodah Zorah, or Shalir Ani Dachas, and it's also Bach Hanor, and it's Ton Sreifa, you have to burn it, you have to destroy it. So even though it has a shear of Gimel Tvachim, Dalet Tvachim, Kibbeta, has it, whatever shear. I treat it as if it were chopped up, I treat it as if the shear doesn't count. That's only if it requires a shear, this thing requires a shear. But the Mechitza doesn't really require here. The reason why a Lech has to be 10 Tvachim Tov, because the Mechitza has to be 10 Tvachim Tov. A Mechitza that's made from Asherah, from Ernie Dachas, is also good. Aye, but it doesn't have 10 tefachim. Told the answer is it doesn't have to be. The shear 10 tefachim is not a shear in the mechitza. It's a shear in the makom. The makom is not also bahanua. The makom is dalal abdalad with the avir the gova yud. So the makom has gova yud. And wherever you, if you lean on this side, there's going to be a mechitza. You touch the walls, there's something there. Physically, there is something there. So the makom is called mukaf. The halacha doesn't really require 10 tefachim in the chefts of the mechitza or the chefts of the lechi, as opposed to the korah. The korah is an invention of the rabbanon, and the way they invented it was that it has to have a tefach wide. The reason why it has to have a tefach wide in order to be able to hold the stuff on top and to build on it. But lemaisa, bottom line, they made a takana that the korah has to have a tefach wide. So that's what the Rashban, that's the famous piece that Chaim has in his Sefer on the Rambam, where he explains this gemara. Tosfos asks the kasha, what's the difference? The Magen Mishnah asks the kasha also. Magen Mishnah asks the kasha. Magen Mishnah goes into some difficult answer, very complicated answer. How do you distinguish between lechi and korah? That's what Rab Chaim says. But this is only this answer that Rab Chaim gives. This is only by Medvar Mamurim. The answer that he gives is only acceptable if you assume that the lechi only requires one shear, 10 tefachim tall. That shear is the shear of a mechitza, has to be 10 tefachim tall. Because the thickness is only kolshu, and the width and the thickness in both directions is kolshu. Yeah, that's the question. Is that really what it says in the Gemara? So the Mishnah has here, going back to Yudal and Beis, so the Mishnah says that rochbon ba'ovion, when you're using a lechi, whenever you're using a lechi, or two lechis, lechayayim shamru, one lechi, two lechis, whatever you're using, so it says the thickness and the width in both directions is kolshu. So the Gemara asks the question, how much is kolshu? Three lines into the Gemara. After the first three lines we already did last week. So the Gemara asks over here, the Kama kolshu has an asterisk where it says Tosefta Paragala. So the Tosefta said the fourth line into the Gemara. The Kama kolshu, how much is that? What do you mean Kama kolshu? Kolshu is kolshu. What kind of a question is that? And for the Gemara, Tani, Rab Chiya has a brisa. Rab Chiya Raboshe wrote it, edited the Tosefta. I feel like a chut ha-sarbo. It means like this. The years ago, they used to have trousers. We hold it up by trousers with suspenders or with a belt. So they used to have a string. Like a lot of people have pajamas like that. Or you have a lot of times a sweater, a pullover sweater, and you have a string that you tie it up. So that's called... the chut hasarbo, the string that you have inside, it has it's covered over, and you pull it through the material, itself inside the material, and then you tie it to hold it together. So the thickness of that chut hasarbo, this kind of a string. So that's called chut hasarbo, that holds the sarbo together. So how much is that? So vayta kolshu. So the most of the Rishonim say it's a kolshu, sure. So since it's a kosher, means that it doesn't have any shear. The Gemara says, achidish. Even if it's so thin, how thick is it? Less than a quarter of an inch. Less than a quarter of an inch. An eighth of an inch or something. Very, very thin. It's still good. That's the Pashup Shah. The Mordechai quotes a Deya from the Rishonim. The Beis Yosef quotes the Mordechai. It's not the Kid. The Beis Yosef in the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Kar does not quote it. But in the Beis Yosef, on the bottom of the, on the side of the tour, Rabbi Yosef Kar quotes the Mordechai, who quotes a Rishon. The Gemara asking Kama Kolshu, the Gemara answers Kolshu.
Kolshu is Kolshu.
So Kolshu is Kolshu. No, so he says the Gemara asks Kama Kolshu, and the answer is not to be taken literally. It's in contrast to Rabbi Yossi, he says it has to be Gimel Tzvachim. It doesn't have to be Gimel Tzvachim, but it's not to be taken literally. Kolshu, Chut HaSarbel is a minimum of an Etzbathik. El Tamaisa. A minimum of an Etzbathik. The thickness of the thumb. Etzba means the thickness of the thumb. Some say it's an inch, etzba. That's the shala, how much is an etzba, how big is a tefa. So the thickness of it. So the Beis Yosef quotes this from the Mordechai as a chumr. So this is a big diun in Achrayim. If one should assume like that opinion in the Mordechai, the Maharam Ritmer, quoted by the Mordechai. Mordechai was a Talmud of the Maharam Ritmer. The Rosh was a Talmud, the Hagos Mamre. He had a whole group of Talmidim. So the Achrayim have a discussion. We never rely on a lechi or a korah. It says in Shulchan Aruch that the whole din of lechi or korah is only useful in a mavui and a chatzur. It doesn't help. So bottom line, we are choshish that maybe our mavuas don't have a din of a mavui, so we always require a tzuras ha-pesach. What's a tzuras ha-pesach? Konim bikam, konim bikam, konim al kabeh. So a lot of rishonim use a lashon. If you ask anybody, when you make an error, say you put a lechi. Strictly speaking, that's not really a lechi. A lechi is when you have a mob and you put one lechi on the right side, one lechi on the left side. This is not really a lechi. But if you ask the guy from Broadway Maintenance who makes the Erev, he says, Rabbi, that's the lechi. And you ask anybody, everybody calls it a lechi. The knowledgeable people, the non-knowledgeable people. And the Rishonim usually say it's like that. The Mordechai and the other Balei HaTosfos, they usually say, the Gemara had a lashon on Daf Yudal, konim ikami, konim ikami, konim. Konim means a beam, a branch of a tree. And once in a while, the Rishonim would say, alechim ikam, alechim ikam. So because the Rishonim use a lashon lechi, so a lot of Achreinim hold that the Konamikam, the Konamikan of the Tzuras HaPesach has the same requirements as a lechi. As a lechi. Mayin afkimina. So take for example, we had a din, let's say you have a mavui that has three walls. A gigantic area has three walls. And then you want to put a Tzuras HaPesach, you want to put a Tzuras HaPesach. So if you want to put a lechi, so we had a din, the lechi has to be within three tefachim to this wall, within three tefachim to this wall. If it's moved away, either tefachim or four tefachim, machlekes, Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chacham, how much is lavud? We had that machlekes. So if you all like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that lavud is four tefachim, so the lechi can be within four tefachim to either wall. If you hold the way we pass, it has to be three tefachim, so the lechi has to be within three tefachim to the wall. So the Shabbos, what about the Tzuras HaPesach? Is also such a din. You're not putting a lechi alone, putting a lechi and a string on top. That's a Tzuras HaPesach. A Tzuras HaPesach is a din mechitza in HaTorah. It's matabek klaim. Tzuras HaPesach is a real din mechitza. Is there a requirement that the lechi mikan and the lechi mikan of a Tzuras HaPesach have to live up to the requirements of a lechi? Has to be within three tefachim to the wall? So that's what the Bechor Shor on Masech HaShabbos writes like that. And a lot of Achrayim quote that. Yeah, because the Tzuras HaPesach has to, a lechi over here and a lechi over here. And a lechi has to be with Hilchas Lechi. Has to be within three tefachim to the wall. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that the Rishonim say the Beferish against that. Chazanish also, they machen abek this. Chazanish machtus abek. A lot of Achrenim disagree with this. They hold that it's not correct. In fact, there is the Chazanish points out, there is a Gemara, Chav Dalar on the base. The second Tesis on Chav Dalar on the base explains what's going on. It's like this. There was an area that had a chotzer that had three walls. And it didn't have any tikkun on the Ruach Reviv, so you're not allowed to carry. And then right next to it was a river. And the river didn't have a sudden drop. Otherwise you can say the sudden drop that goes onto it, that itself is the mechitza. Didn't have a sudden drop, it was like a beach. It went in. So there was no tikkun on the Ruach Reviv, so you're not allowed to carry. So what they did was, the Gemara says in Chav Dalar Mabes, on the other side of the river, they made a Tzuras HaPesach, freestanding Tzuras HaPesach. Not near any walls at all. The three walls are on this side of the river. Three walls on this side of the river. Then there's a river Mapsik. And then you have a Tzuras HaPesach on the other side. So the Gemara says, is it acceptable or not? So the Gemara says, if it's a pirtza of yeser meyeser crossing the river, if there's a gap of more than eser amos, then it's no good. But if it's eser amos or less, then it's fine. So it's not anywhere near any walls. And the Gemara said, according to the way Tosfos learns the Gemara, Chav Dalar Mabes, it still says that it's good. That's why most of the Achrayim disagree with this, with the Bchor Shor. Bchor Shor has a shtikel Torah on a Tosfos later. He drays out from a Tosfos. He says that you see from Tosfos that he's right. That has to be within three tefachim. So that's what a group of Achrayim go for this Bchor Shor. A group of Achrayim hold whenever you make a Tzuras HaPesach. Well, we always when we make an error, if we don't make lechis, we make Tzuras HaPesach. So if you hold like the Bchor Shor, every pole of the Tzuras HaPesach has to have the qualifications of a lechi, then a pole has to have the thickness of a tefach, of an etzba. Because the Gemara says a lechi can be a kol shehu thick, and then the Gemara says kol shehu is not to be taken literally, kama kol shehu, so it does not to be taken literally, it means kechut hasarbo, and the Mordechai quotes the Maharam Ritma, kechut hasarbo means a shear of an etzba. So they say it like that, so then sometimes people use very thin poles. Very, very skinny poles that are less than an edzba thick, less than an inch thick. So you should be machmer, according to this combination, you should be, this is a combination of two shittas, neither of which we hold like. We don't hold like this Maharam Rutmerg that it has to be an edzba thick. Most of the Rishonim say it's not true. It's not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Yosef quotes it. In the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't quote it. That chut asabu means that it has to be an edzba thick. And secondly, it's a combination of that chumra, which is not accepted, together with the Bchor Shor. Chorshor claims that the lechis of the Tzuras HaPesach have to have all the qualifications of a lechi. All the Achrenim disagreed with that. But some are still machmer for that. So if you put together the two chumras, so it'll come out that the poles for the Erev when you make Tzuris HaPesach, have to be an etzbah thick, a minimum of an etzbah thick. If you're going to say like that, that it has to be, has to have a shear, then the pshat that that we said, this beautiful, famous pshat, falls apart. You can't say that. Chaim explained what's the difference, Tosis Kasha, the Magen Mishnah's Kasha. What's the difference between a lechi and a korah? How come only on a we pass like that, la loche, on Pe'amid Beis, the line right before the Mishnah, that a korah that's made from Asherah, Ayri, and Idachas is not acceptable because it needs a shear tefach in the heft of the korah. As opposed to a lechi, which is a mechitza, 10 tefachim tall, that's not a shear in the heft of the mechitza, it's not a shear in the lechi, it's a shear in the gova hamokam. The aver has to be 10 tefachim tall, and the aver has to be mukav, once it's mukav, shein. But the mechitza per se doesn't require any shear. The mukam has a shear. Mukam is aver, of course. You can't say kites mech to shear on the aver. Yeah, so this explanation is beautiful. If the only shear that the lechi needs is 10 tefachim tall, so you say that's not a shear in the lechi, that's a shear in the aver in the gova. But we say that it requires a thickness of an etzba. So you're back where you started again. So what's the difference between this and this? And when Tesis asks the kasha there, Tesis there on Peyam and Beis asks the kasha, what's the difference between a lech and a korah? So they say, just like the korah needs a tefach, a cross, so the lechi needs also a shear. It needs a shear 10 tefachim tall, and it needs a kol shehu. What do you mean kol shehu is a shear? Whenever anything is the kol shehu, so there is no problem of kitos and mech teshua. So Tesis apparently thinks that it doesn't. Gam roch of mashu mi o boy. It needs a roch. It needs the thickness of a mashu. A mashu isn't a shear. Means a mashu doesn't require any minimum shear. But Tesis seems to be assuming that it does require some minimum shear pi alacha, not just in mitzvahs. It's not going to exist if it's going to be less than a mashu. No, that wouldn't be a problem. So they're assuming. I don't know if they're assuming like the Maharam Rutenberg who says that you need an etzba thick, or they're assuming something. It needs a thickness.
According to Rav Chaim, if you have a sukkah that's very tall, and you want to put something, a floor in there, to make it, to bring it within the right, you know, the right height, and if the floor is made out of asherah, so is that a mark? Would you say that that's like not asherah?
So Ravechik used to add this on to Rav Chaim. He said this explanation that Rav Chaim gave, that the 10 tefachim tall is not a shear in the mechitza, it's not a shear in the lechi, it's a shear in the makom. So he used to say that's only, he quoted a Tosfos in Sukkah. Tosfos appears in Erevin also, in Shabbos. Tosfos appears in Shabbos and in Sukkah. That we distinguish between the 10 tefachim tall of Shabbos mechitzas and the 10 tefachim tall of a Sukkah. Because how come by Sukkah we call it defanis and by Shabbos we call it mechitzas? It's the exact same thing. So he says not the same thing. Tosis points out that the defanis of the sukkah have to be defanis muchas l'stach. That's the lashon that Tosis says. What do they pick on that din? What are they trying to prove with that? So he explained, based on Rav Chaim, that Rav Chaim's whole explanation that a mechitza doesn't require a shear per se of 10 tefachim, it's just a shear in the gova hamakom, that's only in Hilchas Shabbos. But in Hilchas Sukkah, we require a floor, and we require defanos, that's why we don't call it mechitza. It's called the doifen. And it requires tach, and all of them should be tangible. And the shear of Zion al Zion in the roof, and the shear of Zion al Zion on the floor, is the shear in the chetz of the floor and the roof. And the shear of Zion, 10 tefachim tall, 10 tefachim wide, by the tefanis, the shear, the doifen has to be the shear. Not just that the mokum has to be mukav. You need a chetz of a doifen. So you thought that Rab Chaim's whole chiddush, Rab Chaim's whole explanation, that a mechitza that's made from asherah, from avodah zarah, doesn't bother me, the issue of Kitos Mech Yeshua, that would only be in Hilchas Shabbos, and for Tfanis of Sukkah would be no good.
But it's not a Tfanis, it's a stage.
The floor is also called the Doifen. We're going to get to the Gemara, has it very soon, the next shtick of the Gemara. The Gemara says that in a Sukkah, the roof, the floors, and the walls are all considered Mechitzes. All six. You have four walls, all Tfanis. The four walls, you don't need four walls, there's Steimer, Kilchas, Meshnus, Akila Tevach, they all have Din of a Mechitza.
Well, that's the wall of a house,
but there's an overhang. One of the Achrayim from around 100 years ago quoted one of the early Achrayim as saying that it's no good. You look in the early afternoon, he never said that. So forget about what the early Achron said he didn't say. Let's judge it on his own merit. So the later one who quoted this from the earlier one misquoted it. So he said like this, what's wrong if you have an overhang? This is very fascinating. You know, there is a journal, it used to come out, I don't know if it comes out anymore, there used to be Hamor, there used to be Hapardis and Hamor, two rabbinical journals. So Hamor, the editor of the journal used to send it to all the Rabbanim years ago, even though they never subscribed, and he would always send you bills. At the end of the year, 2 years, he would always send you a bill, you owe him $150, because he sent you so many. So then if you tell him you weren't interested, so he said, give me back all the journals. So he once went to Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky, and Rabbi Yankov never paid him a penny, so he said he wants him to pay. So he says he didn't subscribe to it. He didn't ask for a subscription. So he said, so give me back all the journals. So he said, I threw them in the garbage. So he said, but really, it's full of terror. How can you throw it in the garbage? So he said, I didn't even look at it. I didn't even look at it. I threw it in the garbage. He refused to pay him any money. So he blackmailed him, and he said he's going to attack him in the next Hamor if he doesn't pay for his subscription. He said, attack me. I don't care. So he attacked him. He said, there's a Rosh Hashiva. I can attack Lashon Hara by name. So he said, there's a Rosh Hashiva with a long beard from Torah V'Das, Yudkuf. How many Yudkuf are from Torah V'Das? And he's in charge. He goes to the summer camp, or Shraga, Torah Shraga, whatever it's called there. Named after Rav Shlager, Shlager Feivel, and then the Lodge, I think. So Rav Yankov used to go to the camp there, and he allowed them to make an Erev with the pole under the overhang. They had bungalows, and they had the roof had an overhang. And he permitted them to put the Erev under the. That's the only thing he could have against Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky. So when it was printed, I remember when it was printed, it was a big joke. Everybody said it was a big galechta. And he quotes in Hamor, he quoted that one of the Achareinim who had misquoted an early Achareinim said that it's no good. What? Let's judge it on some Erev. What's the issue? Why should it be no good? So the Nesivis, we mentioned the Nesivis has a safe on Hilchus Pesach that's called Mekor Chaim, and the back of the Mekor Chaim, he has 1.5 pages that's called Tikkun Erevin. Because he was a Rav in a city. He was the rabbi in Lisa. In the city of Lisa. He had to make an Erev. He had to give drushes also. So he has a collection of drushes also on Chumash. Nachlas Yankov. He has chuvas. He has everything. So in the back of the Hilchas Pesach Sefer, in the back of the Mekor Chaim, he has 1.5 pages that's called Tikkun Erevin. How to make an Erev in one easy lesson. And every line, he just gives you, every 3/4 of a line is another din. Another din, another din. It just keeps on going out lines. No sefim, just a sentence and another sentence. The kids are nimrod. And the Mishnah Brura quotes it so much, if you would never see what the Tikkun Erevin looks like, based on the quotations from the Mishnah, you think that it's a whole big fat sefer or something. You always quote from the Tikkun Erevin. It's less than a page and a half. The whole thing is less than a page and a half. Starts on Amud Aleph and goes over to Amud Beis. The whole thing is very short. So the Tikkun Erevin of the Nesivis writes, let's see, you want to make an Erev to carry here in Forest Hills. So let's say they don't let you put a pole in the middle of the street. So what's the problem? We'll put a pole in the shul, open a window, and have the string go out. Is that acceptable? If you put a pole inside, let's say someone has a lawn, someone has a fenced in lawn, and you put a pole in the middle of his fenced in lawn. The lawn is fenced in such a way that it constitutes a Rishus HaYochid Bifnei Atma. The fences around, make it a Mokka Mukka to Rishus HaYochid. If you put the pole inside of the fenced-in area and you have a string go out, is that acceptable or not? So the Nesivis writes a chiddush that that is not acceptable. If you hamid kon etoch rishus hayochid, that is not acceptable. And it gives you two reasons why. And it's questionable. Both of the reasons are highly questionable. It's a whole debate. Avnei Nezer has a couple of tshuvas. Others write. We're not fully. Not everybody agrees whether they know what he's talking about or not. So the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva, he says 100% right, and he says it's a real din d'oraisa, and he explains it. You cannot put the kona terech rishus hayochid. So he gives you a whole explanation why the Nesivis is right. So now the shaila is, if you have a building, and you have the roof has an overhang, there is a din of pi tikra yorid v'soisa. If you have a tikra, and it has an edge, every tikra comes to an edge, so sometimes there is a din later in the sugyas, that the edge of the did you have all these diagrams? Was it the tikra yerid v'soisin? Here, if you look, the diagrams are on tzadik dalet on the base. The topic of tikra. You have Rashi has diagrams and Tosfos has diagrams. You have all kinds of diagrams. The correct diagram can be found in the Pirush Chai. Okay, here we have inaccurate diagrams. Okay. So there is a din like this. Let's say have an area that has three walls and it doesn't have anything on the fourth side, but it has a roof on top. So that everybody's masking. Even the Rif and the Rambam are masking. The biggest makamim over here, they say the whole need for a tikkun on the roof revis is only midirabbanim. And I thought if you have three walls, you're allowed to carry whatever, chatzim, mavi, whatever it is, backyard, front yard, you have three walls, you're allowed to carry. So if you have a roof on top of the area and the roof comes to an edge, so then you say pitikra yard v'sesim, the edge of the tikra is visualized as if it goes down, and it constitutes the third mechitza. What if you only have two walls? What if you only have two walls at a right angle to each other, and you have a roof on top of it? You know where they have it? On the bus station, on the bus stops. You have a roof on top, the shelter, to protect the people from the rain. You have the roof on top, and you only have plastic walls on two, and the plastic usually does reach within three tefachim to the ground. If the plastic wall doesn't reach within three tefachim to the ground, so it's a mechitza tluya, so it's not considered a mechitza at all. But if the wall goes within three tefachim, so you only have two sides adjacent at a right angle to each other, and then you have the roof on top. So the Tosfos says Tosfos's opinion is accepted on Sarek Dalet Amud Beis. Rashi has a totally different shita, but Tosfos's opinion is that even if it's two walls that are adjacent, if you have two parallel walls and you have a roof on top, you don't say Pitikir Abisosim on the two sides that are connected there. But if you have two walls that are at a right angle to each other, then you have the bus shelter, then you would say Pitikir, Abisosim on top. So that's what one of the Sfarim from 100 years ago wrote like this. If you have the
overhang
protrudes past the building, so you say pitikra yard v'soisim, so it's considered as if you put a lechi attached to for a tzuris ha-pesach purpose. You put a lechi under the overhang, so it's considered as if that lechi is terch rishus ha-yachid. So since you say pitikra yard v'soisim on the outside, so the lechi is terch rishus ha-yachid. So lechi terch rishus ha-yachid toignish. Yeah, but in 95% of the cases, it's not going to pose a problem. Let's say you have a bungalow that's rectangular shaped like this. No nose to drape the wall. So the walls go up, and then you have a roof that protrudes over. So the only time you say pitikra b'soisim is if you have chotch, the Rambam and the Rif hold, got to have three walls, and you say pitikra on the fourth wall. So Tosfos says if you have two walls at a right angle to each other, in the Shulchan Aruch, we paskin. There are more paskins like Tosfos. Mechaber doesn't say one way or the other. The Rambam says like this: if you have two walls that are at a right angle to each other, then you say pitikra in the third and the fourth. Here you don't have two walls. You have one wall. You have the wall of the bungalow. Then you have the roof protrudes all around. So you're going to say pitikra three times. Once, twice, three times, and then you're going to use the wall of the bungalows for the fourth wall. So you don't say, no one holds. Rashi holds, yeah. Rashi holds, you do say pitikra more than twice. That's the diagram that Rashi has to keep on saying pitikra on all these edges. But we don't accept that opinion. We only say pitikra over sesame. If you have two walls like this, then you say pitikra and the two missing walls. You only have one wall, the wall of the bungalow. Then you're going to say the pitikra yervisayim three times. If the pitikra protrudes this way, parallel to the wall of the bungalow. Then it protrudes this way, perpendicular to the walls of the bungalow. So these are three walls. Then this is the fourth wall. And this makes the area under into Rishus Hayochet. Furthermore, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you only say pitikra yervisayim if the wall protrudes four tvachim. If the wall protrudes less than four tvachim, so what do you mean? Beneath it, it has the status of Rishus Hayochet. Rishus Hayochet has to have a minimum of four dalal tvachim. Inside the building, of course, is a Rishus Hayochet. Has walls around it. You want to declare that the outside area that's below, that's directly below the overhang, also has the status of Rishus Hayochet. So it has to have a merchak, has to be the wall, the roof protrudes four tvachim past the wall of the bungalow. Rare. Usually protrudes a little bit. Once in a while you have that, it does protrude like that. And again, the only time it's going to work is if you're going to have, sometimes you have buildings that are built like this. If you have the buildings are like this, not that it's a straight wall. Yeah. There's one wall like this, and then there's another wall of a building like this. So you have two mechitzes of buildings, one, two. Then here's a real wall of a building, and here's a real wall of a building. Then the roof protrudes. Okay, so then you say, oh, I got two real walls. Then I say pitikra for the third wall and for the fourth wall. And the gap over here is less than Esaramas, and the gap over here is less than Esaramas. So I say the area beneath it is the Rishus Hayach, but you got to have some buildings you have like that. The building has an indentation in the wall of the building, so you have two real mechitzas, and then you say pitikra in the third and the fourth. But in a normal bungalow and Rabbi Yaakov coming out to your camp, they didn't have any walls like that. The whole thing was a joke, and it didn't protrude for Tvachim. Usually it doesn't protrude. And then another thing, the Tosfos says that the only time you say Pitikra Yerud V'Soisim, where is that? Forgot where it is. The only time you say Pitikra Yerud V'Soisim is if the roof protrudes and it's flat. That is called the Tikra. Let's say you have a building that goes up like this, and the roof goes like this. The roof is like an upside down V, and it's slanty. Balachson. If it's balachson, then you don't say Pitikra Yerud V'Soisim. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So the whole thing is based on a joke. This whole story, this whole form is based on a joke. Then now this time that the whole thing is a mistake, even if you have all the qualifications to say Pitikra Yerud V'Soisim, who says that you say it Lahachmer? Maybe the whole din of Pitikra Yerud V'Soisim is only Lahakel. If you want to be allowed to carry under the bus shelter, so you say you have a right to you to employ the principle of Pitikra Yerud V'Soisim to declare that you have two walls of the bus shelter, and the edge of the two sides of the Tikra count as the two missing walls. But to say it Lahachmer, to say that it should pass a Tzuras HaPesach, why? Because I put the corner of the Tzuras HaPesach, Tech Rishu Sayach. Who says that you say Pitikra Yerud V'Soisim, Bein Lahakel, Bein Lahachmer? The whole thing is Halacha Moshe Messina Pitikra Yerud V'Soisim. Maybe it's only Nemar Lahakel, maybe it was never Nemar Lahachmer. This whole, I already forgot which one of the Achronim from over 100 years ago misunderstood that's what an earlier Achron said. Oh, so he said it, so he had to knock sense into it. They said it's based on Pitikra Yerud V'Soisim. So others argue, Vezok, that you say Pitikra Yerud V'Soisim Lahachmer. It doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara. It only says that you say Lahakel, never says that you say Lahachmer.
Why is the wall protrude less than 4 spasim? Let's say you have, you know, the three walls, and it's less than 4 spasim. Why isn't it part of the Rishus Hayachid? Like, why do you say that inside the building is one Rishus Hayachid?
Inside the building is a Rishus Hayachid, yeah.
Right, but why can't you say it's all one Rishus Hayachid, the inside and the 2 spasim on the outside?
That's the Gemara has later a principle of Siluk Mechitza. I think we must have drawn diagrams about it. When you have a Mechitza separating, so this is separated from the rest. Mm-hmm. Let's say if you have two homes that are semi-attached. So you can make an Erev to carry from one to the other, but that's a different Rishus Hayachid. That's a different Rishus Hayachid. Because each one has Mechitza surrounded and the two are contiguous to each other.
But there was a wall in between.
Okay. Because there's a wall, so there's two separate Rishus Hayachid, and you can make an Erev to carry from one to the other. If they're contiguous, the two Rishus Hayachid are contiguous to each other, and there is a way to go from one to the other. If you have to stick your hand out and pass something through the other window, then not. You can't make an Erev. An Erev wouldn't even help. It would only help if there's a doorway that you can go through from one to the other. But you can't consider it one big, let's say, an apartment building. You can't say the whole big apartment building is one big Rishus Hayachid. It's not really true. It's every room is a separate Rishus Hayachid, but I have 20,000 Rishus Hayachid that are all contiguous to each other. Hotel. They're all contiguous to each other. They're all touching, and there's a Pesach that enables people to walk from one to the other. So therefore, you're allowed to carry from one Rishus Hayachid to the other. And with the Rabban, if you make an Erev or in a hotel, sometimes you don't need an Erev. So then, even Takana Shloimeh is satisfied that there's no prohibition to carry one to the other. But you don't say, because there are walls on the outside, the whole thing is one happy Rishus Hayachid. No. Once you have a wall in the middle, there's separate Rishus Hayachid. That's called Siluk Mechitza. That's a term that the Gemara has later. Hey, it's a Tzadikei or something. Siluk Mechitza. No, it's not Tzadikei. It's earlier.
That would apply to a mess as well, whether it's Metama outside the building or not.
The mess would not be Metama outside the building unless there's an opening. That's what we spoke about. Unless, like we spoke last week, I think, that the morgue had an exit. The way to take the mason out always was to take it out from the exit of the morgue, and when you open up the door from the morgue going to the street, there was a protrusion on the roof that went over it, and that protrusion there, it only has to be a tefach. For tumas mace, it only has to be a tefach, because you don't have to make it into Rishus Hayachid. For Shabbos purposes, you require that the protrusion should be a minimum. You don't say tikra Yerud V'Soisim unless the tikra is a tikra on top of dalet tefachim. If it's less than Dal Tvachim, it's not called a Tikra. It's only a Tikra if it's on top of Rishus Hayochid. Less than Dal Tvachim is not a Rishus Hayochid, so it's not called a Tikra. But Tumas Meis, it's enough if it's an oil tefach. So by mace also, a separate room, if there's a mace in a different room, so the tumah doesn't go from one room to the other. There's halacha l'moshe misina, sof tumah lot says. Either halacha l'moshe misina or din mederabbanan, that's the shaila which it is. The two Rashis in Beitza that contradict each other. So whether it's derabbanan or halacha l'moshe misina. So if you plan to take the mace through from one to the other, even though you didn't open the door yet, so it's already metameh based on the principle of sof tumah lot says.
Would be a chutzut, right?
It wouldn't have the coolest of a mavul, right? We wouldn't allow the coolest of a mavul. Right.
Something with I don't know exactly something with sukkah, also something with sven.
Yeah, yeah. The Gemara has a case: a person made a sukkah, had long walls that are parallel, and then he put a third wall over here. And then he threw a ton of schachan. So the Gemara says, not only can you eat in the sukkah, even on the other side. I wasn't really intending. On the other side, where the walls extend, you can even eat on that side also. Or let's say, I have three walls of the sukkah, and one, two, three, and one wall is much longer than the other one. And the schach goes all the way. So if this wall of the sukkah is 7 tefachim tall, that's the minimum, has to be 7 tefachim. And this one is 1,000 amas long. This wall is 1,000 amas long. This wall is 7 tefachim long. This is 7 tefachim wide. And I have schach all over. So that's also the whole extension of the sukkah is pesel ayetzim and asukkah nidin kisukkah. Pesel means the psalus garam yekev, the schach. The schach that continues is all the hemshech of the sukkah. So you can even sit over there where there is no doifen shlishi. It's all the hemshech of the same sukkah.
So do you use anything like
pitikra,
or just when you have
the
time? You know?
You don't need pitikra there. No, you have defanas, and it's good the way it is. So you have three defanas, and that's halacha. Three defanas is enough, even though this daifan is not 100 amas long. It's only 7 tefachim long, and this one is 100 amas long, and the whole skak is one big hemsha. So the din is that it's all an extension of the sukkah.
So, regarding tefillah, can you use the concept of tusa pesach, making a pole?
There are two Rambams. The Mishnah and Sukkah speaks about in the Beis Hamikdash, they separate between the men and the women on Simchas Beis Hashem because there was a lot of hoilulus. They're afraid there would be hoilulus in the men and women, so they made a separation. So the whole idea of having a mechitza, a separate section for the men, a separate section for the women in the shul, is based on the Beis HaMikdash, because in Shul there's a Mikdash Miat, and Beis HaMikdash it's clear that it was a separate section. So the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis, Pirush HaMishnayis of the Rambam was originally written in Arabic and it was translated into Hebrew. Yeah, sometimes not so accurate, so we have a more up-to-date translation now. And then the Mishnah Torah of the Rambam was written later. So whenever there's a contradiction between, every so often there is a shtickle contradiction. Whenever there's a contradiction between the Pirush HaMishnayis and the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah, so the person will assume that we should follow the psak in the Mishnah Torah, because that was written later. This is one of the instances where there's a contradiction. That the Rambam in the commentary on Mishnayis and Sukkah writes that the mechitza is supposed to serve the purpose that the men shouldn't see the women. It has to be so tall above the head that they shouldn't see the women. But in the Mishnah Torah, when the Rambam writes about the separation in Beis HaMikdash and in the shul and so on, he says that they separated it in order they shouldn't intermingle. So they shouldn't intermingle, so it doesn't have to be so tall to prevent everybody from seeing. So that was what the Sri Deyesh, Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, writes at Tshuva about the height of the Mechitza. He writes, Sheila Zu Nesorah of America. The first time it came up was in America, because in Europe, all the Orthodox shuls had a balcony. They all had a balcony. They didn't have a women's section downstairs on the same level. I remember once Mrs. Holovechik was talking about there was a shul in Vilna that had a balcony upstairs. So she didn't understand why the real Frumayid never davened in the shul. So the Rav said to her, what's such day finish? The balcony was U-shaped. He said, a real Frumayid shul only has a balcony in the back so the men can't look up and see the women. That shul was Orthodox, modern Orthodox. He said it had a balcony, it was U-shaped so the men can sit downstairs, they can see. He said, of course the Frumayid didn't want to daven in the shul. Well, what's such day finish? Anyway, so in Europe they used to have a balcony. So that's what the Sri Deyesh writes, that this Sheila is on the story about America, how tall the mechitza has to be. So he writes, the Satmar Rebbe insisted to follow the Pirush HaMishnayis. It has to be so tall you shouldn't be able to see the women. And the Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he says, no, that the classical Poskim all assume, it's not a new Sheila, whenever there's a contradiction between the Rambam's commentary on the Mishnayos and the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah, so we follow the Mishnah Torah. So the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah writes the other reason. Not that you shouldn't look at the women, you shouldn't intermingle with the men. So as long as it's tall enough to prevent hisarbus is good enough. So then he thinks, he personally writes, as Sridi Yesh writes, he thinks that we shouldn't exclude, if you're going to have such a tall mechitza, the women are not going to feel, the women are going to feel excluded from the whole davening, and they're going to stop participating in the religion. He said that in Eastern Europe, he was married and he got divorced. It was very unclear, the whole that whole parsha, why he got divorced. Then when he went to Berlin, he left his wife behind. Did give a get, I don't know, it's unclear what happened. He married the daughter of a Rav, and he became the Rav after the father died, he became the Rav. And then he left his wife behind when he went to Berlin, and he never remarried. So he writes that in when he came to Germany in Berlin, he saw that the women were more observant than they were in Eastern Europe, and he attributed it to the fact that the German Rabbonim understood human psychology better than the Rabbonim in Eastern Europe, and they had the men and the women sing mirrors together, they had functions together. In Eastern Europe, they had such a separation between the men and the women. The women felt excluded from the whole religious observance. That's the whole problem today with the women all feel excluded. So he says he feels that you have to include them a little more in order that they shouldn't be turned off from the religion. So he thinks that he personally feels that we should follow Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's what he suggests.
My original was the
Tzuras
HaPesach and the Pope,
with
basically that being enough.
No, the Tzuras HaPesach, even though Tzuras HaPesach is enough for Kilayim, the Kilayim deraisa, and it's enough to carry on Shabbos, but here it's a Shaila of Hisarvus. Just the Tzuras HaPesach is not going to solve the problem of Hisarvus. Certainly not going to solve the problem of Hisarvus, but we don't accept that. But it's not going to solve the problem of Hisarvus either. Because over here, let's say in Shulchan Aruch it says, there's a din taka later in Erev in these din. You're not permitted to make a mechitza hamateres on Shabbos. Let's say it's forbidden to practice tashmish amito in the same room with tefillin, same room with tefillin. So I'll take such a mechitza and put it up. This mechitza is the thin feet talking to the ground, so you say love it. I'll put up such a mechitza between the svarim in my bedroom and the bed. So then the din is at its mutar. It doesn't reach the ceiling, and the svarim are higher than the mechitza. The mechitza only has to be 10 tefachim tall, which is only about till here, and the svarim are on top. So the halacha says no, good asik mechitza. As long as the mechitza is 10 tefachim tall, so it's considered a separate room. So it says to put up such a mechitza on Shabbos would not be allowed. You're not permitted. Why? Because that's a mechitza hamateres, and that's an isa de rabbanon of binyan. I mean, you're not making any binyan, but with the rabbanon, that's called oil aroi. You're not allowed to make oil aroi betchila b'shabbat. That's called oil aroi. So it says that's only if it's a mechitza hamateres. What if it's only a mechitza that tznias b'yalma? So they give the mashal on Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes from the Mordechai. B'shas drashas hachacham, when the Rav used to give a drash in shul, they used to have the men and the women sit separately with the mechitza between them. So the Ramah says the mechitza sheparsim be'anoshim noshim b'shas drashas hachacham, that's only l'tznias b'yalma, so that you're permitted to put up on Shabbat. Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav, and many others said the same. It's lab davke b'shas drashas hachacham. It's what dinami b'shas hatfilo. When you want to daven, in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they never had such a hechitimtze. Is the men and the women going to both? The women either they didn't daven or they daven in the balcony upstairs. They never had such a hechitimtze that the women are going to daven in the same floor with the men with the mechitza in between. But he said b'zman hazeh that that's the common practice. So he saw to put up such a mechitza on Shabbos. Let's say you come to shul, the mechitza is not up, and they have these mechitzas in another room. So would you be permitted to set up these mechitzas on Shabbos itself? Is that a mechitza hamateris? So he thought, no, it's only the tznius b'yalma. It doesn't really have the dinim of a mechitza to be considered a different reshus. It's not the same. Okay, so Nachama, so the Mishnah says that the lechi has to be 10 tefachim tall, and the thickness can be kol shehu, and that's a big machlek. When the Gemara says kama kol shehu, so the Gemara says kechut hasarbo, like the thickness of the cord in the jacket or in the pajamas, whatever. So the shailus is that to be taken literally, that when it says kol shehu, it doesn't really mean kol shehu. It has a minimum shear. So some say the minimum shear is an etzba. Kechut hasarbo, there, right. An etzba is very thick. Or Tesis later seems to, on Peyam and Beis Tesis, seems to assume that it needs a shear, but it's not an etzba, it's a shear, it's kechut hasarbo. Or do you say, no, kol shehu means kol shehu. Kechut hasarbo means, even if it's so small, Or if it's thinner, it's also good. So then the Gemara, okay. So then the Mishnah had a machlekes of Yosi Nachacham. But Yosi says not true, that the lechi has to be three tefachim wide. And usually when Rabbi Yosi disagrees, we usually follow Rabbi Yosi, because Rabbi Yosi nimuka imo. Everything he said made sense. Shadows over here should be passing like Rabbi Yosi. The Gemara says pukhazi, my amadabar, go outside of the base matter. See, the min ha'olam is that we don't follow Rabbi Yosi, so it means that we're mekel. Then the Gemara ends off on the last three lines on the daf. And others have a different version. This statement, Puk Hazi, my Amadabar, appears in many places. Puk Hazi, my Amadabar. It appears in many other Gemaras. So the Shaila here it says, where is it? They tell you, which
Masifta,
they say, Puk Hazi Mayama Debar. It says Shom Daf Mem Hei Visham Nisma. What Shom Daf Mem Hei? Chayris. I don't know. They tell you there's a Shin Nun means Visham Nisma, and that Mesichta they give you a list of many places in Shas where that expression appears. I guess it means Chayris. I don't know. Chayris. Okay. So here the Gemara says this Amora. The Rav Chanan asked Abai, what's the din? Abai answered Puk Hazi Mayama Debar. These two people, one asked the other, and they said, well, see what the Minig Olam is. So one version has it that he said it over here, that we don't pass him like Rabbi Yossi. The other version, he said, no, maybe the din is like Rabbi Yossi over here. The other version is he had it on a totally different tana, different person, different topic, and gansana different. The shayla is, what bracha do you say before eating food? So when you eat potatoes, you say bar pi adama. When you eat an orange, you say bar pi hertz. When you eat cookies, you say bar min mezonos. Right, the bar min mezonos never says in the Mishnah. Never appears, only in Tosefta. Very strange. Mishnah is never list the bracha. Amotzi lach maroch state in the Mishnah, bar pri agafen, bar pri hadama, bar pri yet state, shahakol state. If you eat flesh, fish, you say shahakol. What if you're drinking water? What if you're drinking water? So the Mishnah says, hashos amayim letamba, depends, why is he drinking water? If he's drinking in order to swallow a pill, or because he's choking, so you don't say a bracha at all. But if a person drinks hashos amayim letamba because he's thirsty, then you say shahakol liyabibor. They quote from the Vilna Goyen, the Sfarim quote from the Vilna Goyen, that even if a person is thirsty, a lot of times when he drinks a sip of water, he's already no longer thirsty, and he doesn't really have to drink a revius in order to quench his thirst. Sometimes he drinks three cups of water because he's so thirsty. He's still thirsty. So the Vilna Goyen said, if they gave you a cup of water to drink because you were thirsty, instead, shakal nibidvara, and then you finish the whole thing, chreins out of there, but you weren't really thirsty throughout the whole revius, then you don't say a brach achreina after it. You only say a brach. So it's rare, that's what they quote from the Gro. It's rare. I used to learn Mecharusa when we were both single with a fellow. I think he's a descendant of the Vilna Gaon. He used to follow all the shittas of the Gro. So he never knew for years. In the middle of learning, he'd always drink water. He said a shakal, never said bar nefesh. I didn't know what was going on. Then years later, I finally confronted him and I asked him, what's going on? Such a frumer, such a medactic, more medactic than I ever used to be. So he said he's a descendant from the Gro. And he follows this, and it took me 30 years till I ever found this and printed the name of the Vilna Gaon. They printed the name of the Vilna Gaon. That he held that you have to drink a full revius l'shos with tzomai in order to have to say bar nefoshes. And a lot of times, not with tzomai. Okay. So the Mishnah says, Hashos amayim l'tzomai, you say shakal medvar. Rab tarfen aimeer, bar nefoshes rabbis v'chesroinon.
Wait, to make the first bracha, you don't need a revius.
Right. To say shakal, you don't need a revius. But to say bar nefoshes afterwards, right, then you need a revius. Right. That's
if it's drank, if it's in a certain amount of time.
If you
drink a half pair of revius, sip, then you wouldn't make a bar.
Right, right. So Rav Tarfin is a shayla. Rashi on the bottom line, and the Rashi has two pshotim. Is Rav Tarfin disagreeing with the Tanakama? Tanakama says, say shahakal before you drink the water. Rav Tarfin says, say bar nefoshes before you drink the water. That's what Rashi holds the correct shot is. Or is Rab Tarfin Aimeir? Rab Tarfin disagrees. It doesn't say Omer Rab Tarfin. Rab Tarfin Aimeir means he disagrees with the Tanakama. So Poshab Shat is that it's Machalik. Tanakama says, Shahakal Nimit Dvari, you say, before you drink. Rab Tarfin disagrees and says, wrong. You don't say Shahakal on water, you say Shahakal on fish. You say Shahakal on flesh. But you don't say Shahakal on water, you say Borna Foshis, before you drink the water. Then Rashi has another Pshat which he rejects. He holds it's not correct. And you say, bar nefoshes after you finish drinking the water. After you finish. That's our practice, yeah. The Rashi says that's what it says in the Gemara Brachas, but it doesn't say that that's pshat in Rab Tarfin. Rashi thinks that's not.
What does Rab Tarfin say after drinking?
No bracha. No bracha.
He says before.
Only one bracha.
Yeah, the Gemara in Brachas has braises So the brises say that if you eat potatoes, if you eat oranges, or you have fish, so what bracha achrayna do you say? So it says v'loy klum. V'loy klum. So then the Gemara says, v'hoyitna, we know that v'loy klum means bar nefesh. So the Vilna Gaon says that means that was a later minig. V'zman atanoim, they didn't say any bracha achrayna after they had fish, or fish or anything. They never
bread.
Said that, huh? Bread, or
bread,
had zayin minim shenishtapkan, ala michia, ala gefen, ala eitz, that's a bracha achrayna that appears in the Mishnah,
yeah.
But the bar nefesh as a bracha achrayna didn't exist in the days of the time. A tarfin had it as a bracha rishoyna before water. And the Gemara, Rashi quotes the Gemara bracha says that our practice is that we say bar nefesh whenever the Mishnah or the Brisa, whenever the Brisa says olachrov v'loy klum, there's no bracha achrayna inside at all. So our practice is that we say bar nefesh. So here the shaila is, this was the shaila that Rav Chanan asked Abai, what's the din? And Abai said, "Pup chazei mayam debar." We know what the meaning is, that you say shakal before the water, and say bar nefesh after the water. It's not that he said it regarding Rav Yosi in the Mishnah, he said it regarding Rav Tarfin, a totally different issue. And Gansen a different issue. We left out a shtickle of Gemara. Maybe we'll have to learn that next week.
Okay.
It's a very important Gemara about lovud. Rav Shimon Gamliel Nachacham Magid, whether lovud is three tefachim, lovud is four tefachim. Exactly. Which cases do they disagree? Which cases do they agree? And why do they agree? Very important. Why do they agree? So it's Nagel La'alocha. This missing line. It's Nagel to the Manhattan area. It's Nagel to many. This line in the Gemara is a very important line. Okay. Right. What makes sense? What makes sense for the Takana Sakhan? What makes sense? In this week's parsha, we have it continuously. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Bo El Paro. Parsha's boy starts off like that, Bo El Paro. Well, we have a few times, Bo El Paro. So the Mefarshim HaChumash point out that normally when a person sends a shaliach, the person will say, Lech. Go, my wife is in California and I want to divorce her. So Lech Elishti, go to my wife. I don't want to go. I would go myself. I don't need a shliach. I can give it a gift in person. If I don't want to bother to go, so you say Lech. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech Olam and Kavodah, the Baruch Shalom is all over. So you can't say Lech. You should go somewhere. Let the shliach go and the Mishalech is going to stay behind. No, the Baruch Shalom is going to go with Paro. So he says, Boel Paro, come with me to Paro. So if the Rebbe Shalom is going himself, so what does he need Moshe Rabbeinu? And everything is going to be Lamaila Men Ateva anyway. It says, Ki Ani Akshes, Leif Paro, is like Moshe Rabbeinu has no Bechira Chavshi. Moshe Rabbeinu has very little Bechira Chavshi over here. Rebbe Shalom tells me, you got to say this and that. And I'm going to pull all the strings behind the scenes and I'm going to control Paro. So what does he need Moshe Rabbeinu for? Let Moshe Rabbeinu stay home and the Rebbe Shalom can do the whole thing. That's what the Rav has, a whole drasha of Shlichus, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us the schus to serve as his shaliach. A lot of times in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us an opportunity to do something, to act on his behalf as a shliach. He could have accomplished it all by himself. I was just in Eretz Yisrael for a day. So Eretz Yisrael, everything is with the politics. It's not just the first page of the newspaper, from the first page to the last page. Every page of the newspaper, everything is politics there. So you think, because he said this and he said that, because he did this, we forget that the Ribbono Shel Olam is running the whole world. All of the things, a lot of the things that people are saying, their Bechir Chavshis is really suspended. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't give us 100% Bechir Chavshis to do whatever we please. Do I have Bechir Chavshis to shoot you and kill you? You don't deserve to die. The Ribbono Shel Olam limits my Bechir Chavshis. He doesn't give me the ability to do a Hatovah to you if you don't deserve the Teva, nor to do a Ra to you if you don't deserve the Ra. If you deserve a raw, then in Hashemayim they allow whoever kol hakodim zocher who wants to do the dirty work. For them, a gaglam schus al yedei zaka v'chol v'adei chayv. If it's a wonderful thing, the Rebbeinu Shlom wants to be mative to someone, so he says, okay, kinderlach, he allows that whoever wants to do a teiva. So one wonderful person will probably volunteer to do the teiva. And a gaglam chol v'adei chayv. The Rebbeinu Shlom wants a raw to befall someone, so he gives everyone the bechira chavshes to choose to do whatever they want, and some evil person will do the raw. That's why the tzaddikim go down in history for the good to meisim tovim that they did, and the rishonim go down in history for the terrible things that they did. I wasn't at all min hashamayim. The answer is partly min hashamayim, partly not. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives everybody a limited bechira chavshes, and sometimes he opens it up that you have a right to do a tov or a ro. And then the tzaddik will probably volunteer to do the tov, and the rasha will probably volunteer to do the ro. That's what the psukim are saying.
They say about power. Why is it being punished?
The Rambam asks the question, why is he punished? Why is he zakta a slave para? So part, that's what some of Farshim explain.
He did more than he was.
Some say he did more. Some say he did more. Right. Different explanation.
He
liked it. Yeah.
He didn't have to follow what.
Same thing with Hitler.
Rashi
says that the first five times he did not
party
inside his book.
He didn't have to. Right. And from that time on. Right, right. So that's right. If the Rebbe Shalom decided in this case someone should suffer, and then he allows whoever wants to choose to do the shlichus lira, so then the person is really exercising his tira chopshes. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik has a whole drosha about shlichus, that very often HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us an opportunity to service his shlich. He could have really done it all on his own. He didn't need us at all. With a fifth wheel to the truck over here, he doesn't really need us. He wants to be mezakas, that we should be shutzim in his development of the world. This is the way he wants history to develop. So he gives us the opportunity to join along with him, and it elevates the person to the level of kemoso. We have a klal, shlucho shalodim kemoso. Rabbi Yosef Engel has such a suggestion. We have a din, a nochri cannot serve as shalich for a yid, and a yid cannot serve as a shlich for a nochri. Ein shlich is lakim. What about a nochri for a nochri? So there's a Magen Avraham in Hilchus Pesach, when you're selling the chametz to the goy, so it says, the Magen Avraham says, the goy has to be there in person. He can't send a yid as a shliach. So the Magen Avraham quotes a Masis bin Yamin, what if the goy sends a goy to serve as a shliach? So the goy who's here doesn't want to buy the chametz. He's just representing the other goy. So the Masis bin Yamin, that's one of the earlier. The Magen Avraham was in the 1600s, so he was earlier. The Masis bin Yamin was in the late 1500s, early 1600s. So he writes, he thinks that it is good. So the Magen Avraham is not so convinced. He says, how does he know that it's true? Rabbi Yosef Engel writes in one place, what's the biur? Why a goy for a goy can't be a shliach? Only a yid for a goy for a yid cannot be a shliach. So he says, because the klal is shluchu shel adam is kemoisa, is considered like him. So he said, if one is a yid, one is a goy, how can you say kemoisa? But if they're both yidin, or they're both goyim, so then shach to say that it's kemoisa. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik has in this published drasha. He said, the Rebbe Shalom gives us an opportunity to service his shaliach. He doesn't really need us. He's going anyway. It's a schus. He gives us the service of shliach. When we serve as a shliach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's shluchu shalodim kemoso, we are elevated to the level, in a certain sense, of being like a shutek with the Rebbe Shalom. Just like he's the mishaleach and we are serving as a shliach, like both yid, both goyim. So there's a relationship between the two. So that's why the expression, that's what the Ibn Ezra said, that's why the expression that's used, recurrent expression that's used, is boel para, doesn't say lechel para. Because the Rebbe Shalom is going to be there anyway. It's not like every normal shliach, that the mishaleach stays behind and he sends the shliach to do something for him. The shechina is going to go there, he's going to be with Paro anyway. But he wants Moshe Rabbeinu to assist him in this job. And very often, it's not only Moshe Rabbeinu, very often we in life also are shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do things that he could have done on his own, but he wants us to join along with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw the name
Temporarily.
Briefly temporarily.
Yeah.
I tell you the truth.